Welcome to the Avance Podcast. I'm Dan.
I'm Nick. Are you coming home?
How's the rain, buddy?
I mean, no, there's no rain here. You should come home. Definitely get away from wherever you are. And there's definitely not gallons of buckets of rain coming down. Where are you, by the way? Speaking of that, where
are
you?
I'm in Moab. I broke in the new truck properly, of course, and went straight to Moab and off-roaded it.
Okay.
Not like I would... Not real hard being a 2500 HD, but diesel. But still, you can have some fun in Moab with anything that goes off-road. So,
did you have any issues with length? I mean, with the truck, like it was that. I feel like that would be the main issue on some of those trails. Like
it definitely would. Okay. I did Schaefer Trail today, and that's a pretty well-known and open road. It's less of a trail and more of a road. It's when you go from downtown Moab to the Potash Ponds, which are just outside of town, and then you climb up to the top of Canyonlands from the valley floor. So it's a really cool trail, good switchbacks, but that one is so well traveled and wide that it's easy to get around things. It's no wider than the Raptor, so that helps. But obviously, being longer didn't hurt anything though. It's definitely not nearly as soft of a ride. We both said that right away that this is not the Raptor, but it's still off road's great. Get that air out of the tires and air it down, and that helps a lot. But even with those fancy shocks, it's good for a 3/4 ton diesel off road. Let's put it that way. Okay. It would take a lot of money to get it better, but that's not what I bought it for. So,
fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Some friends of Kate and I's, I've shared photos with you of this. They just bought and they found it in Washington State with body matching and everything. Brand new Bronco Raptor.
Nice.
And he brought it by the house to show it to me. He brought it by the house to show it to me after he had gone up the North Fork, and he was doing 65 miles an hour up that road in a straight line where he could see. And he said he felt like he was floating on a cloud with that suspension and the Raptor and the Bronco Raptor. I was like, that's pretty cool.
That'll be the replacement for our Raptor. My Raptor is going to be our Bronco Raptor. That'll be coming probably September.
Okay.
But that's what we went and checked out those. So for everybody wondering and all the questions, what are you going to do? This isn't the replacement for the Raptor. Yes, we're going to do a Bronco Raptor. So now we have the truck for towing, the Bronco Raptor for off-roading, the Audi for the back roads, in the paved back roads. And then, So
the monkeys for everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll have the fleet of everything we want. So.
I will say this. I mean, I've seen a lot of articles come out, and they were bitching on the looks of the Bronco Raptor with the black fenders. When you color match those fenders to that truck, they blend away. It is such a pretty car. It is such a cool car. I shouldn't say car, off-road vehicle. But that was the first time I've actually been able to kind of like see and sit in one. And, anybody's let me near one. I tried not to drool, but it was pretty cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're impressive. When we went and looked at them, we're like, yep, that's the one. It was a pretty much immediate right away. Like, yep, that's what we want. So
yeah,
I'm pretty happy about that. I mean, can't wait to come back. And we'll probably do the same thing. We'll probably get it down here and drive it straight to Moab right after we get it. So,
well, and especially, I mean, and you helped me help them with this. When you buy one, I think when you buy a Raptor or a Raptor Bronco, one person gets the Bronco Raptor course in Moab, which they're really excited about. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus here, but their salesman didn't mention that, but we gladly helped them. He was like, oh yeah, I guess so. So I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. Well, Ford dealers and service don't go hand in hand, but they make great products. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to kind of talk about a Carter Automotive tip of the week. This applies for Washington, but I'm assuming it's going to apply for all the states that Avance is in. Unfortunately, Kate was in downtown Bellevue last night and got rear-ended. It happened. She was at a stoplight. Somebody went forward, before the light turned, bumped in. She's going to need a new rear bumper cover on her Forester. But what I learned is, I mean, it's very easy if you don't know to file an insurance claim these days. And the fact of like, you go on your app, if it's Progressive, State Farm, Geico, you can pretty much do everything on the app. You don't have to call somebody. You will eventually have to talk to somebody. Where we ran into an issue was in that process, they wanted a report number, or a case number from the police. And when she got hit, she did it perfectly right. She did call the Bellevue Police Department, of course. They're short-staffed and things like that. So nobody actually came out. It took about 7 hours before somebody called us back and they said, yeah, you file your own accident report now. And I'm like, what does that mean? And this happened inside Bellevue, Washington, inside the city. You have to go onto the Washington State Patrol website and you have to file a claim there and you have to put in all the information. And you, I mean, I felt like I was an officer. I mean, I had to fill out everything, VINs, license plates, insurance, you know, what happened, where it happened, all of that. It was kind of complicated just to get a case number. I will say this to kind of backtrack a little bit. She has Progressive and I'm not pushing anything, but the Progressive app was really cool in the fact that, like, I even got to go into the Progressive app and recreate the car accident in virtual cars to show them what happened, which was kind of a neat thing. But the downside of it was I had to create our own police report. I wasn't with her, but I was trying to help her with this. But it was kind of complicated, and it wasn't the easiest thing to find on the Washington State Patrol website. So be prepared for that. Obviously, if you're in a more major crash, which I hope none of our Avance members ever are, you know, you'll probably have more police on scene. It'll be a little bit easier, but apparently it still comes through the Washington State Patrol. I'm not sure why. Maybe you'd even know that, Dan. I don't know.
They probably just taken over the accident reporting. As they're probably having the central database. It's kind of weird that you'd think cities would be on top of that more. But as we've learned from the show and from our officer friends, the databases police have are low tech and almost non-existent, to say the least, for a lot of things. So if somebody's got one running, it's probably some old OneNote Washington State Patrol is linked into or something, knowing them, but or some open Google Doc with no encryption. But
yeah. I mean, and I get that. Like I said, when she called 911, they're like, well, they were kind enough to go, there won't be an officer. The irony was she was across 405 from the Bellevue Police Department. Like, they could have walked probably to the accident site, but everybody's okay. You know, well, cars can be fixed, and you know, hopefully there will be no other you know, long-term injuries and things like that. So,
well, that's accidents good happen. To know. I still think you should dial 911 first, and even if they tell you, I think that report should still be in there. So make that your first call.
Always dial 911. Do it the right way. They're going to do what they're going to do. But like I said, we were getting constant texts to say, you know, an officer will call you back. Do you still need somebody to call you back? And we're thinking, well, yeah, because we needed that report number. And the whoever called her back finally at like 9:30 at night, maybe it's longer than that, said, oh, yeah, you just go on to Washington State Patrol. And I'm like, OK, well, hold on a second. This is, you know. And I'm a little tech savvy, thanks to you, that I figured it out. But it was kind of tough. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that. I haven't dealt with that before, so that's good to know.
I hope people don't. Okay, so it had been nice here. I want to kind of pick your motorcycle brain. And this may be a question that it's just me and I'm crazy, and you're welcome to say that. As we're all coming out of hibernation here and we're starting to get back into our cars, we're starting to get back onto our bikes. And I always feel like I lose a lot of what little I had on my motorcycle being on the monkey or being on the big bike. But ironically, that same day that our buddy came by with the Bronco Raptor, I was already preparing the big bike, the 450, to go up the North Fork there and do a little ride. I was going by myself. I wasn't going to go far. I noticed my skills have really regressed, but I have somehow come up with this idea in my head that I'm really good at turning right, and I'm really confident, and I can do it at speed. But all of a sudden, I'm not good at turning left, and I don't know if it happened over the winter or if this is something that's just because I'm right-handed. Can you explain that to me? Okay.
Yeah. You have a dominant side when you're riding. You have a dominant side of your body. And this is super typical. People are much more comfortable usually going left, actually. But right hand, you are going to favor one side or the other. This is super common. That's funny. I remember, I don't do this anymore, but because I've been riding for so long. But I remember clearly dealing with this when I first started riding on the street. And feeling like I was like, why are all my right turns or my left turns sharper, or, you know, feeling that bias. And that's super common. It's just, it's muscle memory for one. I think probably, like you said, you're right hand dominant. So maybe that's how it is for you. Most people I know were worse at going right than left, if I remember from my class a long time ago. But yeah, it's just people usually favor one side or the other. That's so funny that you bring that up. I totally forgot about that, but that's absolutely a thing.
I was powering through the right-hand corners, like I was putting my foot down, and I was on the power. And then I'd come into a left-hand corner, and all of a sudden there was something in my brain that went, oh, my God, you can't do this. And I was like, and again, I had set some goals in my mind that I was going to go up there. I wasn't going to go over about 30 miles an hour, which I stuck to, just because, again, riding by myself, there's a ton of people up there. Obviously, there's idiots with Broncos up there trying to do 65 down the road to test their new suspension. it wasn't an awakening, because I wasn't doing anything unsafe, but I was definitely realizing it.
Well, it's just like snowboarding or something like that. You have or wake surfing, you have a dominant foot forward, and the same rules apply on a motorcycle. You can overcome it pretty quick because it's not exactly the same, but yeah, it's totally a thing. I know a lot of people like that. It's usually road racers who really notice it, because they are typically really good at dropping left and having a hard time dropping right. At least from, okay. I wonder if it has something to do with the controls being the brake on the right and the clutch on the left. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, that's funny you mentioned that.
Interesting.
I can't remember what my instructor told me. I'm going to look that up. That's funny.
I mean, the funny thing is I don't notice it on the monkey. Like when I'm on the monkey, like, and obviously I was on the street with the monkey, I wasn't zipping around, but I wasn't as aware of it. Like, I felt like I was as confident, because like when I got off the 450, I came home and I instantly changed and got back on the monkey. And I was like, I want to know if this is the big bike thing, if it's power, but like, I was definitely noticing it. So yeah, again,
I dropped my left faster than my right still.
Okay.
But I'm also like, my brain knows that I can do it on the right. It just feels more comfortable on the left.
Well, this is the first, and this is the first time the big bike's been out this year. So this was like, so it was very noticeable. There was, and again, maybe it's my age that's screaming in the back of my head, like, hey, look at this, make sure you're doing this right. Don't die. You're alone. So
that's funny. Yeah. Well, I mean, North Fork's a busy road, so you weren't like way out in the middle of nowhere.
No, I wouldn't have, but you know. Knowing me, though, I would miss a corner, go off into the woods, and so far off the trail, nobody'd see me. So, you know.
Hopefully your SOS on your iPhone works.
There you go. My mom used to laugh when I was skiing. She always bought me the neon green ski suits so that if I went off into the tree, she could find me. So, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, okay. Good. I feel a little bit more confident in the fact that I'm not crazy, but obviously, as I ride more this year, we'll be good. So. How's things in your world? You obviously made your way up from Arizona into Moab.
Oh, man. So I posted on Avance already. So people reading the Avance Facebook group, and at least the Seattle one, are seeing this. But our California listeners should really be taking advantage of this, because they're a lot closer than our Pacific Northwest listeners. Utah, 12 to 24. And that is Bryce to up to Torrey, and then over to, what's the name of that town? But it's basically on your way to Moab, the back way through Escalante, Escalante National Park and Capitol Reef. And that is still the best road I've ever driven, period. Sean, I got to go through it this time in the R8. I was partially in the truck and pulling the trailer through it, which is a bit of a different experience on a road like that. But it had just so that road is intermittently open and closed because of the snow they've had for so long up there. And if we got going up to the top of the peak, the summit, it's still snow even onto the road in some places. It's easy. It was fine. It was no big deal. Like, you weren't like going through slush or anything like that, because the road is basically clear and dry with snow heaves kind of still on the edges right up to the very edge. But man, that is, it's 150 miles ish of just incredible mix of turns and views and elevation changes, and almost nobody out there. Passing zones aplenty. But oh man, it was just, if you haven't taken that route before, that needs to go really high on the top of your list of things to do in any car. Like, there's a couple of guys posted they had done it in their Miatas. I mean, it doesn't really matter what you have, because in anything, even if you were just taking the family, you're gonna have this, like, some of the most beautiful views you've ever seen. But man, what a fun, spirited drive. And there's a side road out there that I've been wanting to take forever, and we probably will do this when we get the Bronco. It's called Devil's Backbone, and it's a road more than a trail. So like, but there's a bypass basically for this road that's all off-road, and it's pretty famous. And it goes, I think it's about 60 or 70 miles off-road. It's kind of like a backcountry discovery route, where they have a really well-known scenic bypass in that area. But man, we're just loving Utah. Every time we come up here, we're just blown away by how beautiful it is, how great the roads are, how nice the people are. It's been such an awesome trip of driving.
That's awesome.
We hiked a ton today. We hiked Dead Horse. And like I said earlier in the show, we drove up Schaefer Trail in the new truck, which was cool. Definitely not the Raptor, but glad we could do it. Still beautiful to climb up the canyon. I would say if you've been to the Grand Canyon and you haven't been to Canyonlands, you're really missing out. Most people who have done both agree right away that Canyonlands is way better than the Grand Canyon. It's much more accessible. Less people in the parking lot, much more accessible. Even though it's a much smaller park, technically, if you have anything, even if you're not in a built four-wheel drive, like there are still tons of roads to explore in Moab that are just gravel roads that take you to beautiful places. Like you can go, Schaefer Trail goes to Thelma and Louise Point, where in the movie Thelma and Louise, they launched right that off. Car off, the Thunderbird. That mm-hmm. is right off of Schaefer Trail. And you can do this in, if you have a bone stock Subaru Crosstrek, you're fine on Schaefer Trail. I wouldn't say do it in something that's, you know, standard height Civic or something, or a Corolla or something, but pretty much anything with even mild gravel road capability, you're going to be able to do Schaefer Trail, and as long as you go slow. And like that stuff is all around. So it's right off of that is, you know, Poison Spider. So it's like, you know, trailer in your rock crawler that doesn't even make on the road. You can go watch that, or you can go just explore the area. So it's been fun. We have Luke, Shauna's brother, with us, and our friends, Tiffany and Jeremy. And so this is Jeremy's first time here and Luke's first time here anywhere in this area. And so they're kind of mind blown. So on the way up here, we went through Zion. We just drove through in and out of Zion, but I was in the truck pulling the trailer through Zion, which is a very tight road to say the least. No problems, but definitely some scared pedestrians walking along the road because this takes up a whole lane. So I'm stripe to stripe in the trailer. I'm maximum width for that road. No problems. It was fine, but it was definitely a few people going, but
do they regulate that? Like, will they stop you if you have a rig that's too big, things like that?
Yeah. So there's a famous tunnel in Zion. It's about a mile long, beautiful, connects both sides of the park. Tunnels. Yeah, but you can only run a oversized or full width vehicle, and I'm going to come back to this, between 9 and 4:30 p.m. 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. After that, the tunnel goes back to two-way traffic, and oversized vehicles just won't fit. So one time, I found this out by luck, we came in. When I first got the Raptor, I drove through Zion as well, but I came in at night. And if anybody remembers, the Raptor is technically an oversized vehicle. That's why it has fender lights. That's why it has the three lights in the grill. It's actually too wide to go through the tunnel after hours. I literally folded in the mirrors and drove through the tunnel without my side mirrors to get through Zion at night. And luckily, I only passed one car in the tunnel at night, which was fine. But it was like, I knew I had, you know, luckily at the time, Shauna was dead asleep, but I had maybe an inch between the roof and the top of the tunnel in there, because you go down the center and during the day. They have a pilot, they tell you, they kind of stop the line, let you go through, and then move the rest of the traffic. You have to pay like an extra $15 or something, but it's totally worth it if you're ever coming up this way. But with a trailer, it's a little sketchy to say the least. If you're not experienced pulling a trailer or driving like an RV per se, Zion is not the place you want to go.
So do they have people at the beginning of the tunnel at night that'll stop you? Like if somebody that doesn't know the rules is coming through?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, that could go very badly. Most people don't come into Zion at night through that. But
still, okay.
I could see somebody.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that if you go, I think certain times of the year, I think it's free to enter most of the national parks after 5 or 4, something like that. You can get into most of them. You just drive right in. Most people don't know that because they're not that busy in the evening. But yeah, you could definitely get into a seriously hairy situation if you're pulling a trailer and try to go through that tunnel at night. I could see somebody doing that and having a real problem.
So, or an RV or something.
Yeah. I would be shocked if somebody hasn't slammed into something.
I'm sure. Well, I think the Rock's going to win more than the RV. So
yeah, Rock would definitely win. But it's been, nice. I mean, it's been a joy to drive the truck and pull the trailer with it. So in the Raptor, I really couldn't go above 65, maybe 70 with the trailer, even empty, because it would just start whipping the rear end of the truck. But with the new truck, I was doing, it's 80 across the desert in Utah, and I was easily able to go the speed limit. I didn't go above it, but 80 miles an hour pulling the trailers, no big deal. In the diesel, it doesn't even phase it. It's so nice.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I mean, are you guys, with all your guests, are you guys traveling in all in the truck? Like, or did they fly down and have cars too?
So they flew down and met us in Sedona, and then Shauna took the R8 up to Bryce and took Tiffany with her, and then I have the three of us in the truck. And then around town, we just all hop in the truck. Makes a super, sure. You know, it's comfortable for five. And then we'll load up the car on Sunday here, and I'll sit in the truck until we get to Salt Lake City, where they're going to take a flight back. So it's four hours of us all in the truck. But it's actually, I mean, it's not as big as the Raptor inside, or just the Ford, for that matter, has more interior space. But it's still plenty big for us. I mean, if you were full-size adults, still fit pretty comfortably in there, to say the least. So
Luke is two full-size adults, but yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I wish you were here, man. I can't wait for us to come down here in September. I've been scouting out like routes that are best for the monkey around here. I really want us to do all of Schaefer Trail, cause we cut it short and went up to the top of Canyonlands. But if you keep going, Schaefer Trail turns into White Rim Trail, which is 100 miles, 4x4 required or motorcycles. And it goes around the entire Canyonlands park. It's a hell of a drive. I think we could do it really fast on the monkeys because we're going a lot faster than traffic normally is.
Or take the 450s. I mean,
yeah, or take the 450s. I think we'd actually be faster out there on the monkeys, honestly. As funny as that is.
Unless there's left-hand turns, I don't want to take the 450.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm excited though to get us down here and just show you guys around. I know Brandon and Pal's on here before, but man, this place. Every time I'm here, I'm just blown away how much I love Moab. Everybody should come here.
Oh, so. You mean Grandpa Ben Pal now?
Yeah, Grandpa Ben Pal. Congratulations to
Grandpa
Brandon.
Ben Pal. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. Congratulations to him. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to you coming back too. Like I said, it's, you know, bring the sunshine back and, you know, get your ass up here. So I know how much you love Washington State and want to live here for the rest of your life. So get back here.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love sunshine. I'm very jealous of our California members just for the weather. But yeah, it's
I love
nice.
Sunshine too. It's the heat I have a problem with. Other than that, you know, yeah.
Yeah, no shortage of heat here. It was 78 today. Nice. Which is nice and perfect for March or April. I mean, excuse me. But you know, speaking of which, if you're coming down here, I hope I've convinced you all to take a drive down here because it's worth it. Make sure you take advantage of your Avance, discount for Michelin and BF Goodrich, 15% off. That would be, if you came down here with bad tires, you would regret it big time. Between the roads, the great asphalt and the great off-roading, you need some good tires, and we definitely have the deal for you. So make sure you take advantage of that. I was pretty happy with the heavy duty tires on the truck. It's got those, the BF Goodrich, what are they called? They're a mud terrain, but they're the heavy duty mud terrain specific for diesel trucks, for heavy trucks.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. It's, I forget what it's called, but it's a really good tire. Really strong, really stiff sidewalls, definitely air down, but they performed really well off-road. So I was pretty happy with that. As far as grip, I had it as a precaution for some of the uphill stuff. I had it in four-wheel drive. Never once did it even skip a beat though. And like I said, you don't really need it to do this. I was just trying to keep the dust down and keep the traction there, but no problems.
Did you make the transition easy from driving up to the pump and not grabbing the gas anymore and grabbing the diesel?
Yeah. So when I was in Bryce, I filled up and they have, so if you have an RV, you can use the high speed diesel pumps, like the commercial size pumps. And man, I can fill my truck. It's a 33 gallon or 34 gallon tank. I can fill it in like a minute with the high speed pumps. It's awesome. Wow. It's got the giant nozzle. It's like three times the flow rate of a standard pump. It's painful watching the numbers tick that fast. Man, is it nice to fill up in a hurry? So that's cool.
No, I was laughing about that because I was over at the Safeways here up by where we live, and there was a newer, it was a Chevy or something like that, and the gentleman got out and his wife got out, and he was saying to her, he's like, I know you're going to get this. He's like, we had a gas truck, we now have a diesel truck, we cannot make this mistake. And she's like, I understand. And so I was laughing because I was thinking of you. I was like, I wonder if he made that, had to make that a few times, like, hey, wait, grab the right nozzle kind of thing.
I consciously think about it, but it's definitely I wouldn't say muscle memory at this point, like grabbing a gas pump, but it's definitely something I have to consciously think about. It's not my first diesel, so it's a little easier, but it's a def is kind of a pain. I wish I could just rip that system off. I obviously will not, but man, it's...
Have you had to fill that up already?
No, I topped... It comes with a half tank, and I filled it up. I put a gallon in it and basically topped it off, but just having to think about it, and always have to have def on hand in the truck because it'll go into limp mode, and I don't know... Like, there's a gauge, but it's not... If you're pulling heavy and hard, like, the more... Obviously, the more diesel you use, the more def you're going to use. And so if you're high up in the RPMs, and it'll just simply use more to compensate for the amount of exhaust gases coming out. So it's just another thing to think about. That's all. So,
well, remember, Dan, as you're dumping that def into your big diesel truck out of those plastic containers wrapped in cardboard, you're saving the environment when
that's
doing
right.
this. So just remember that. So that's the important part. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's like, you know,
excellent.
Doing our part with our paper bags with all of our plastic wrapped food. Always makes me laugh.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm filling my paper bag with plastic wrapped food.
I don't know. But I mean, I never thought I'd make the transition, but I'm actually taking bags over to Safeways now because it's with the cost and stuff like that. So it's easier. Yes. Becoming an eco warrior. Thank you. What was the little whiny girl in Germany? No.
Oh, yeah. The puppet for parents. Greta.
Yes. Puppet for parents. So let's just go with that. Nice. Well, I mean, it's, I'm hoping you're going to come back to some nicer weather. It's like I said, it just started raining today up here. But it's supposed to start getting nicer sometime. Who knows? Sometime around July 4th.
The main thing is I just have a bunch of projects to do at the shop still. And a lot of them are still really limited by weather. Like I need to fix a lot of parts of the roof, but I need a few good, clean, you know, dry days to do it. And it's, man, I've been so much busier on this trip just doing stuff. Like just going outside, walking to town, walking around in general. Walking the dog more, for one. I take the dog on like 3 walks a day because it's kind of nice just to be outside in the sun, and I forgot how much I miss that. And man, it's nice not to wash the car all the time.
The irony is, when you were gone, it's been nice here. It really has been.
I heard.
You would be able to have done all those things, but it'll start getting nicer again here. Things are, you know, starting to clear up, and it's a the rain. I don't mind the rain as much right now. I'll get a little sick of it pretty soon, but it's been pretty good. Like I said, it's been some good riding weather, and it was warm enough that I didn't freeze to death, and you know, it was good.
That is good. I was gonna say one thing I've noticed. So I've washed the truck once already, which is a massive undertaking. But I was gonna say it is so much easier to wash the Audi because it's covered in S-Tech. Like massively easier. I had no idea how much easier it would be to wash the Audi than the truck, just in the sense the paint stays so much cleaner.
Oh, like, that's right. You haven't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it just keeps getting quieter and quieter.
Okay, there we go. How about that?
There we go.
Yeah, I somehow moved the cord and it pulled the. The switch down.
I was like, where did you go?
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Actually, while we're editing, hold on 1 second. Here, just leave that running. I'm going to try and I need to plug into battery power.
Okay.
So, jeez.
I can see your remote control. Oh, they canceled exotics. Imagine that.
Yeah.
I think Todd bought a VW bus.
He did. Let's talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Message me. I'll tell about it. One second here. Okay. I thought I had a battery part, but this thing's just sucking it down. All right. Now that we have battery power, let's get back to the show.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So you were saying, I mean, obviously with the Audi being covered, but the truck is not yet, right? You didn't have it clear broad when you were down there.
Yeah, no, I want to wait for S-Tech with one of our good installers up here in the Pacific Northwest, or just one I know. I'm sure there's some good ones down in Arizona. Sure. I just don't know them personally. So I want to take advantage of those good Avance partnerships up here. And I'll definitely probably bite the bullet and do the whole truck just because I don't want to wash it that much. I don't know. We'll see how it's... It's not as bad. It's funny. Motor Trend did a review of this truck, and they said like it doesn't get that dirty because it's so high up. And they're right. It's oddly clean. It's the way the running boards are shaped. It doesn't kick up that much dirt onto the truck. Really, I was surprised at how well it stays clean. But now that I've taken it through, you know, Moab and Schaefer Trail, there's a lot of brown dust on it. But I'm looking forward to getting that done. I wish I didn't have to take so much time to clean it, though. I practically need a ladder. It's a bit of an exercise to get up and around it. You'll see how it's big.
Was there a break-in period on that truck?
It's supposed to be like 500 miles and then no heavy towing, but I'm not towing. Okay. I'm towing so light. It's fine. Yeah. I already set up my first service appointment before it, just like as soon as I get back that Friday, I'm just taking it straight and just get the oil change and the tires rotated. Figured, so
nice.
Yeah.
How many miles you got in already?
I think like 1,200.
Oh, nice.
Very 1,300, good. I think. Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of driving. I mean, I did 8 hours. Yeah. Not 8 hours on, let's see, what day is it? Thursday. I did 8 hours on Tuesday and 6 hours yesterday straight.
Nice.
So, yeah. Drives easy,
though.
You
guys are taking some time this week to just sort of enjoy life and you know, take a break, yep. Right?
We're enjoying good. Moab this week. So, good. You know, we love it here. We'll do a one-day shot back on Sunday, 16 hours. But like I said, with a couple of drivers, it's not too bad. And it's a really comfortable truck. The dog, kind of hilariously off-road, fell asleep the whole time. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Did you have to get, will his bed work in the center console in the truck?
Yep. Loves it.
Nice. Great.
He can't hop into it as well as the Raptor, though. He can definitely do it, but he's like, just pick me up. I don't want it.
Yeah. You know who I am. Pamper me. Get me up there now, father.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Dogs love trucks, though. It was an old Nissan commercial, and he does love the truck because he can look around so much more. So
nice. Well, that'll be good. Yeah, I mean, I have unfortunately made that drive. Well, it wasn't from Moab. It was from Zion up to Spokane or Seattle in one night. That was a long drive. It's a long drive, but it's pretty coming up through Salt Lake City and then coming up through Idaho. And I mean, it was a really pretty drive, but you know, when it gets dark, you can't really tell where you are anymore. The only bad part of that is like when you get into Southern Washington and like, it's beautiful there in when it's light out, but when it's dark, it feels like it takes you forever to get through the Tri-Cities and up to Ellensburg. So
for sure.
Yeah.
That's a fun stretch of road. If you don't get pulled over though, there's some really nice, I mean, even just, what is that? 84? No, it turns into 84. I don't remember what it is over there, but
I think
that whole section of just multi-lane highway is actually a really fun drive.
If you don't get pulled over. Yeah. Just doing the speed limit. Yeah. So,
hey, speaking of new vehicles, congratulations, Todd Sanders. I see you just, he posted so we can spoil for him. He got his Volkswagen bus. Finally, he's been talking about that for years. It's beautiful. He got enough, bring a trailer actually. So he won an auction. So,
okay. Yeah, I saw the posts and he said his wife was encouraging him. And I mean, I know her. I mean, so, I mean, I know she was probably right there going, click it again. So I'm glad he's been talking about that for a long time. And I'm sure Mr. Boryog will help him with all mechanical needs and keeping him on track with those. That'll be great. So,
yeah, that's a vehicle you just can't help but smile if you own. That would definitely be fun to have in anybody's collection. So.
Yeah, I did want to give a shout out. Dan and I unfortunately missed it, but the Avance Partners meetup was last week. And like I said, Dan was out of town and I was busy. It looked like it was a heck of a time. We always want to say thank you to all of our sponsors and all of the people that support our Avance members. It's really a pleasure to work with all of them and do business with them. So I want to kind of give a shout out to that. I saw Chrissy post a bunch of stuff about it on the Avance official Instagram. And I was like, it sucks because I wanted to be there. So,
yeah. You know, speaking of things we won't miss, though, I should be in town for Avance Off-Road April 27th. That's coming up. So maybe I'll put the truck through the course just to see how it does. That'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, you love to wash that truck, so why not put it through that course?
A little easier to wash at home than at a random car wash, actually.
Fair,
so,
fair. Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah.
And then Sunset Social, that's coming up at Sunset Social at Grand Prix of Long Beach. So that just sounds like a cool event. Avance and Motul hosting that. Hard to go wrong with that. I'm a big Motul fan. I like their oil. So,
yeah, I've always thought of you a big Tool fan. I mean, Motul. Motul.
I'm
fan.
Both. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yes, you are a big fan of Tool, the band. Yes. Fair enough. Yeah, it's been. I've been working so much. It's hard to even get to some of the Avance events, and we've been having a ton of them. I'm gonna. By the time this comes out, what is it called? Was it Weird and Wacky, or what was the one that was going to be this weekend? I don't think I'm going to end up making it down to it. I really wanted to because I wanted to kind of see some of the stuff. But and I think as of right now, they looks like they canceled the Exotic, so it's going to be raining this weekend, unfortunately. But if you could on Sunday just bring back a little bit of the warm weather, then we can kind of kick off the car season here, Dan.
I will definitely do my best. I will hopefully try and make it out to Exotics, of course. Best car show around still. Thank you to all the volunteers for helping kick that off for another great season ahead. So if you're in the Pacific Northwest, make sure, even if you're in Portland or something, you got to come out and see Exotics on a nice weekend. It's worth the drive. It's awesome show. So
speaking of spending money that I don't have, and I haven't spent it yet, but I was on YouTube and I'm cruising, and Milwaukee had their latest release of all their tools in Stockholm like a month ago. And
what'd you find?
I mean, first of all, they're releasing and they're coming with the tools, and I think you've seen them, but there's new ones, the drawer liners that come with the pre-cut tools and everything. Milwaukee's going to be making slip-in stuff. They've got a new 500 cm blower that's coming out that runs on the M18. They've got a couple of brand new chainsaws and stuff like that. And, you know, it's funny because I'm very loyal to that brand. And the one thing I have that is not is that DeWalt chainsaw. And I keep looking at the Milwaukee's one, like, I don't need it, but I need it, you know?
Well, you could go, you could sell your DeWalt very easily. I could.
No, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And then you could just stick to the same battery system.
It made me start thinking, but there's a lot of really interesting, I mean, obviously there's a lot of stuff there that I will never use. Some of the stuff for like framing and things like that. Some of these interesting temporary nails, these temporary nail guns that drive a nail in, but they leave this much out, you know, so that you can basically, it's temporary. So, you know, you can pull the nail out easier. So you're not digging into the wood. It's a lot of interesting things that you never think of and things I would never use, but it's just kind of a cool thing. There's a lot of really cool tech. And I know we've got big DeWalt people out there. We've got big, Milwaukee, DeWalt,
Ryobi, Makita.
I was thinking Makita. And I mean, I know everybody's kind of loyal to their brands. Yeah. But there's some, I mean, I'm kind of, I chose Milwaukee for a lot of reasons, but I constantly see them. I mean, they put out close to 500 brand new tools this year. A lot of good new stuff coming for the automotive side of Milwaukee too, with sockets and safe sockets for the wheels and things like that. And some new technology that's going to be built into their impacts. You know, like if you've ever impact with an impact gun and it stops, or, you know, and it swings the tool around.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's got some technology in it now that will stop the tool from swinging. It recognizes that it's doing it and it pulls the power itself. So.
Oh, that'd be nice. I've had a few drills almost take my hand off. Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's like one of those things where you go, yeah, I've had that happen to me, but I never thought that there was something that they could do that to. So also another really cool thing is they've got their new dust collection, which is, it's a vacuum cleaner, but it's Bluetooth and it hooks up to your tool. And when the tool goes off, the vacuum cleaner turns itself off in 3 seconds. So it's not constantly on. Oh, it does it by
Bluetooth. Yeah. So I have a manual or an automatic switch, and that when you turn on the table saw, so but not a wireless tool, so that's really cool. Yeah,
it's just kind of, you know, it's interesting. I mean, if you're out there, you know, get on YouTube, search for, you know, the Milwaukee. I think it was in Stockholm, Sweden. There's a bunch of people that have gone through it and did tours of it, and different, you know, contractors and car guys and lawn, you know, care people and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
So I ended up with a couple of coupons. I did some couponing, speaking of tools. And so while I was down in Arizona, actually, I went into Lowe's and I got the DeWalt 3/8 and 1/2 inch swappable head cordless ratchet. And so you can take the inside of the head out and go 1/2 inch or 3/8. Just by,
so you only need one tool then.
Only need one tool for both.
That's nice. Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty powerful to say the least. It doesn't have the same access to me as the Milwaukee one that I have, because I have a M12 ratchet from Milwaukee that I really like. It's not very high torque, but it's great for getting a bolt started and all the way there.
When you mean access, you mean how deep it is, kind of thing?
The body of the tool is larger, and so But for me, most of the time I'm using it, I have pretty good access. Like, I'm not doing a lot of deep motor work or deep in the engine bay, and I have the M12 Milwaukee still. It's not the fuel one. I just have a standard M12 3/8 ratchet, and it works great. I have no complaints with it, but I wanted something a little quicker for just when I'm doing brake jobs, usually, things like that. Just I have so many uses. I use that ratchet all the time. And so all the battery power tools I have in the trailer are DeWalt, and I have 1/4-inch impact, 3/8 and 1/2-inch. I have enough to do way more than enough to break lug nuts loose, even on the truck at 150 foot pounds. So no problem there. I've got Milwaukee 1/4-inch, 3/8, 1/2-inch sockets. I've got Milwaukee 1/2-inch impact sockets. I've got wheel specific sockets, impact sockets, for anything, trailer, truck, whatever. And then I've got a bunch of like tools to basically repair the trailer. I have an electrical kit, but I have a full build out in the trailer. Basically, I'm building a race trailer, off-road trailer. So if I'm hauling motorcycles, if I'm hauling cars, if I'm hauling off-road stuff, I've got everything I need to do all that. The only thing I don't have in there right now is a nice aluminum jack. I need to get a lightweight jack to put in there, but those are expensive, obviously. A lightweight, high capacity jack is an expensive jack. And I need, and that truck is 8,200 pounds. So I need something that's pretty heavy duty, and that's going to probably run me $300 or $400. So I'm waiting a little bit till I see one of those go on sale, because
yeah, and that's something you can mount to the inside of the trailer. And I mean, it'll get used, like you said, with everything, with the Audi or with the bikes or with anything else you choose to.
I might need two because of that. So I need a low clearance jack for the Audi and other sports cars. And I need a really high clearance jack for trucks and off-road. And so, like, the low clearance jack would do the bikes just fine, but it won't do the truck. Yeah, I'll probably end up with two. But I'm also conscious of weight on the trailer, too. I don't want to add, all my tools are up front, and if I keep doing more, I'm going to add so much tongue weight forward of the wheels when it's empty or with motorcycles in there that it's hard to balance it out. So I have to get a little creative.
I wonder if there is a cradle or something that could be put in the back of the truck, in the bed of the truck, where the jack could sit in there for when you need it. Like, you know, basically, so, you know, would take up, would kind of mount to the side of the bed. And then when you're not, you take the jack out when you're not using it, kind of thing.
Yeah, there is. Or, I mean, I'm thinking about just making one. Got the welder, so sure. I could just weld something up out of aluminum. Probably not weld.
Does it not? It's not going to be a high clearance, but that has to come with some type of, like, crank jack.
That it comes with a massive scissor jack that takes up way too much room in the seat, under the seat. It's kind of annoying. The one on the Ford was way better placed in the back. Like I said, interior storage is way better on the Fords, night and day better. But again, they don't drive nearly as well, just saying. But yeah, GM's got a lot to learn from Ford as far as about ergonomics, and I wish they had taken that into consideration with things like the jack and under seat storage, because things like that are annoying. But whatever, I digress.
I think you've done a very good job of saying, hey, I bought this truck, but really, you know, this is why I bought this truck, and this is the pros and the cons. So it's been good.
Yep. There's still a little bit of me, honestly, thinks, could I have lived with some of the drivability issues of the Ford that I had, and the F-250, 350, I mean, not the Raptor. The Raptor definitely was not the right tool for the job for what I'm doing. But there's a lot. The Ford brings a lot to the table as far as interior stuff like that. And you spend all your time inside your vehicle, not looking at it, not driving it. I mean, driving it, but not just looking at it from the outside. You spend most of your time on the inside. So I don't know.
Sure.
I do enjoy the stability, though. Like, I can pull the trailer and drive that truck with one finger at 80 miles an hour. It's that good. So, and that's with 35s on. Yeah, which is saying a lot, because you start lifting a truck up, especially any truck. You start lifting a truck, you lose a lot of stability. So I'm very impressed with how well it drives. So anyway,
that's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it when you get it back up here. I mean, this is what, Wednesday. You'll be back up here Saturday or Sunday, and then hopefully I'll be a chance to come out. And it's a long drive out to your house,
right?
So yeah,
don't get lost.
I won't get lost. Yeah. So, well, excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear the updates. I'm glad to hear that I'm not crazy when it comes to taking left turns on my motorcycle and things like that. And I did want to say, we've got a really great episode coming up next week. If you got the latest edition of Avance Magazine, the gauge specialist Buzz Raz is coming on, and we're actually going to be in studio with him. And I'm hoping it's not going to rain that day, because as funny as it is, I need a gauge rebuilt in the Triumph, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to bring the Triumph out and have him kind of tell us what he can do, and then maybe send it back with him so he can fix it. We'll have to see.
So, I'm really looking forward to that. The art of restoration on anything, but especially intricate instruments like gauges, blows my mind. Like, I love watching somebody rebuild a watch or something on YouTube. Like, that stuff's super cool to me. So I'm excited to see him and talk to him and learn about his skill set that I will probably never have. So
another one that's coming up, and I wanted to have people put in questions for this or write us or whatever it is. We're going to be talking to some people at Ram Mounts, and actually they're out of Seattle. A lot of people don't know that, but we're going to be doing an interview with Nick over there. And I think that's in 3 weeks, but that'll be kind of interesting. So if you have any questions about mounts for your cars and stuff like that, send them in to us, and then maybe we can run them by him and see what can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that'll kind of wrap it up for now. Again, we're waiting to see you come home, Dan. I think everybody wants you to answer for getting rid of the Raptor in person. There will be a tribunal.
The Raptor Bronco will be, I'm going more toward the off-road. So I'm really excited for that, to have a vehicle with such a short approach and departure angles, and even a breakover angle too, and factory 37s versus 35s. And obviously mods for that as well, because that will get the winch and the lights and everything else that my previous Raptor had was going to be even better on the Bronco Raptor, and much more suited for literally more hardcore off-roading. Like, I'm looking forward to using it even more for some of the tougher trails on Moab that I've never been able to approach before. And I'm going to put it through its paces like we do all the off-road stuff. All the vehicles I have get put through their paces, and that's going to be a fun one. So
I can't wait to be in the back seat screaming with Theo. Yay, go faster. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, for this episode of the Avance Podcast, as always, I'm Nick.
I'm Dan. And don't just get there. Enjoy the drive.